I'd come back if I knew how you felt inside. And if you would be true, then I'd forget my bitter pride. Too bad.
Tuesday, November 10th, the Ramones and Social Distortion at Roseland, Randy Newman at Town Hall, Meat Beat Manifesto and Orbital at Limelight. Wednesday, November 11th, Dirty Looks at Tilt Rock, Megadeth and Suicidal Tendencies at the Ritz, and the Ramones and Social Distortion at Roseland. Thursday, November 12th, Megadeth and Suicidal Tendencies at the Ritz and Alger Road, the Paramount. Friday, November 13th, Alger Road, the Paramount, Megadeth and Suicidal Tendencies at the Ritz, Linda Ronstadt at Roseland, Babes in Toyland at CBGB, and the Scofflaws, Mephiscopheles and Ruder Than You at New Music Cafe. Saturday, November 14th, Jerry Lee Lewis at Trance, Musso and Dow at IMAC, Widespread Panic at Irving Plaza, and Linda Ronstadt at Roseland. Monday, November 16th, James Taylor at CW Post Hill Center, and Mary Chapin Carpenter at the Beacon Theater. Tuesday, November 17th, Mojo Nixon at the Lone Star Roadhouse, James Taylor at CW Post Hill Center, Asia and Steve Howe at the Academy, and the Sugar Cubes at Limelight. Wednesday, November 18th, Los Lobos at Irving Plaza. Thursday, November 19th, Cab Calloway at Westbury Music Fair. Friday, November 20th, Life Out of Balance at the Ola Board Pub, Soul Asylum and the Lemonheads at the Academy, 10,000 Maniacs and the Wallflowers at the Paramount, and the Charlie Daniels Band at Westbury Music Fair. Saturday, November 21st, Ricardo Silvera at IMAX, Sandra Bernhardt at the Paramount, Milo Z and 32 Tribe at New Music Cafe, the Templars, Oxblood, Summer's Eve, and Warzone at Space at Chase. Sunday, November 22nd, Scatterbrain at Limelight, and Monday, November 23rd, Public Enemy, Ice-T, and House of Pain at the Ritz. Concert billboard can be heard weekdays 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m., and all weekends at noon and at midnight. If you have any questions, call the station at 632-6901 and stay tuned to 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook.
It's not an ice cream truck or anything like that. It's what Kevin brought into the studio tonight. He calls it his toy, but this is something that you played this over the air. Is that right?
Uh-huh. Well, work to it, you know.
I have a dubious distinction here at this day. Oh, we ran out. There we go. A dubious distinction at this radio station of being the moral advisor, and that's why occasionally when something like this comes up, I think there's nothing funny about morality, my dear. It's something that the people deserve to know about. I know about it, and you know about it, and certainly the people out there should know about it. The lyrics, my friends, to this this particular piece of quote-unquote music.
It's called Toyland.
Yeah, it's called Toyland, and there's a reason for that. Toyland, Toyland, dear little girl and boy land, while you dwell within it, you are ever happy there. Childhood's Toyland, wonderful world of Joyland, wouldn't it be fine if we could stay there forevermore?
Relax your mind, float downstream.
Now, I don't know what kind of drug you're pushing on these poor kids out there, but it has got to stop. And we've got a religious station only a couple of megahertz away from us. And believe me, the good vibes from that station are rubbing off onto this station, and we will succeed. We will drive this kind of immorality away from these airwaves. Enough said about that. I'm taking away from my moral time period, so we won't talk about this anymore. But, friends, you've been warned. Turn that off. Good evening. I'm sorry, good morning. I always mess up the first part of the program. And yes, it is morning. This is Brain Damage. A very good evening to one and all. We've got all kinds of things tonight. We've got your phone calls, of course, but we've also got some cheese. We've got some news. We've got maybe some overseas phone calls if it works. It might not work. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. This might work, but doesn't always. But first, the news. The Pentagon says American warships, planes, and military intelligence will be monitoring a freighter that left France for Japan on Saturday. Why? No reason. They just like doing things like that. Yeah, it also had a cargo of lethal plutonium on board. But it wasn't a very big cargo, you know. It was plutonium, you know, family size. The environmental group Greenpeace, as if we had to say they were environmental group, but for those of you out there that might be in comas and just coming out of them, Greenpeace is the group that has something to say about this. They say one of its ships will be tailing the Akatsuki Maru on its two-month voyage. And Greenpeace tried to prevent the ship's departure from Cherbourg. Any of you out there with real telephones might want to call the mobile operator and send a message out to the Akatsuki Maru. Actually, I'll show you what happens if we try doing that. We get our little fake dial tone there. We get our real dial tone. We call the operator, who usually has a bit of sarcasm in her voice, which is why we have sarcasm in our voice. Or his voice. Yes, hello, operator. I was wondering how I would go about making a mobile phone call to a ship. Ship to shore, I guess, or shore to ship.
Ship to shore. Hold for one second.
Okay. Actually, it is shore to ship because we are on shore and we're trying to get to the ship. Now, I should find out what ocean is. Okay, it went from France to Japan, so it must... How do you do that? I guess it went down the Mediterranean and is going to sort of go through all that sensitive area where people don't have a sense of humor. Yeah, that's probably what it's going to do.
Okay, sir?
Yes?
Yeah, I'm going to switch you to directory assistance. You got to give them the name of the...
Of the boat.
Yeah, the boat. You call Marine, right?
There's a directory assistance for boats.
Yeah, for Marine. You call Marine Service?
I'm trying to reach a ship that's off the coast of France.
Is it Marine? It's Marine, right?
Well, it's in the water. Does that make it Marine?
Yeah, it'd be Marine. Please hold.
Okay.
I'll direct you.
You must have gone to college.
Hello?
Hi, where am I? What I mean by that is, what operator am I talking to?
This is Information 47.
Is this the marina operator?
No, I'm not.
Can you give me a number for a boat?
Where,
Is this just regular 516 information? Well, actually, it's off the coast of France.
All the boroughs, so you have to tell me what borough.
No, you see, it's off the coast of France.
Where?
Well, it's on its way to Japan from France. I have
okay,
feeling.
From NASA and stuff, and I'm not getting anything for marine operator.
Of course you're not
getting anything. From Manhattan for marine operator. I don't know where they can help you with that.
The,
whatever, but I'll give you the number anyway.
This is a number for what?
It says New New York Marine Operator.
Sure, I'll take that.
Okay,
248-6920.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ah! They only do that if they don't like you. So I have now a phone number for something called New York Marine Operator. I've never tried this before. All right, let's go outside. New York telephone operators will always try to connect you to information whenever they can. I mean, who in their right mind would connect me to Nassau Suffolk information if I'm looking for a boat in France? Well, when you make 45 cents a call, I guess that's incentive. I can't help but think this is one of our listeners that beat us to it. We'll try later. Let's continue with the news. We'll get back to this Marine call a little later. The president-elect. Yeah, I can't believe I'm saying that. The president-elect. President. No, I can't do it. I can't say it yet, but I will. It took me a while to say Bush, to say President Bush, but it takes practice, you know. President-elect took most of Saturday off from transition work. Bill Clinton, so I can say it by himself, but I can't say president, you know. But Bill Clinton spent some time relaxing at home in Little Rock, Arkansas, and on the golf course. He also held a few meetings and telephoned a Florida boy seriously ill from AIDS. 15-year-old Ricky Ray had told a Tampa TV station that before he died, he wanted to speak with Bill Clinton. Clinton says he told Ricky to hang in there. During his round of golf, he spoke briefly with reporters, praising the two men he'd chosen to lead the transition effort. The president-elect says he's saddened by the death of former Czechoslovakian communist leader Alexander Dubček, but he says he's glad to see that Dubček lived to see the emergence of democracy in Eastern Europe. Dubček was 70 and never quite recovered from serious injuries in an auto crash in the beginning of September. Well, through Thursday, Northwest Airlines is cutting its winter fares to more than a dozen cities. It's a traditional move to boost business in weak markets. And an airline spokesman says Northwest hopes the cuts don't spark another fare war. Lower price tickets can be used for travel through February 25th and must be bought 14 days prior to travel. Yuck. How can you even say that? Ugh. People are passing obscene notes here. I only settle for the real thing. No synthetics, if you don't mind. Can you believe that? The reduction cuts prices by as much as 35%. Why are we reading advertisements for airlines? Get out of here. All right, here's a Gallup poll. Gallup polls are always interesting. They indicate more than 84% of young black Americans consider Malcolm X to be a hero, but it found that only 1 in 4 in the 15 to 24 age group knew much about him. In the 25 to 49 age group, 59% considered the slain civil rights activist a hero, but only 33% of black Americans over the age of 50 would describe him that way. The poll is to appear in the November 16th issue of Newsweek, which has as its cover story the meaning of Malcolm X. The film Malcolm X by director Spike Lee is to open soon. The top judge in New York State has been placed in a hospital psychiatric ward after being arrested Saturday for extortion and blackmail. 62-year-old Saul Wackler was accused in a criminal complaint of making threatening calls to a New York woman and sending sexually explicit letters to her and her 14-year-old daughter. Apparently that doesn't follow hospital rules. Wackler, who's ahead of the New York State Court of Appeals, acted out of anger. Well, he can always appeal to himself, can't he? Convenient thing about being the head of the Court of Appeals. He acted out of anger after his relationship with the woman ended about a year ago. Wackler is married and the father of four. He faces a court hearing on Tuesday before himself. Jordan's King Hussein has told the New York Times that he feels the Iraqi people should end their suffering under UN sanctions. He did not specifically call for the overthrow of Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein, but he suggested Saddam's rule should be replaced with democracy. The comments are in the Times' Sunday editions. They follow other recent published reports and speeches in which King Hussein had distanced himself from his longtime ally, Jordan supported Iraq during the Gulf War. In Portage, Michigan, police say scores of people have been treated at area hospitals after some kind of smoke bomb was touched off in a crowded mall. Anybody out there know about this? We're waiting. A spokeswoman at one hospital said those treated had complained of burning eyes, chest and throat spasms, and headaches. A Portage police dispatcher described the device as a smoke bomb and said it was believed to contain hexachlorethane. Yeah. The mall was evacuated, but the dispatcher said further details were not immediately available. No arrests have been made. Hey, get this. The man who played Bart Maverick on the popular TV series Maverick is dead in real life. Jack Kelly died at a hospital in Huntington Beach, California, after suffering a stroke on Wednesday. The former mayor and city councilman in Huntington Beach was 65. At a Michigan TV station, WXYZ, is reporting that former General Motors Corporation chairman Robert Semple is recovering from heart bypass surgery in a suburban Detroit hospital. Recall, he resigned under pressure only last week after more than 2 years as chairman of the world's largest automaker. That's a lot of pressure. Boy. And this just in, the U.S. Border Patrol has taken into custody 28 Haitians who beached their wooden sailboat in Hollywood, Florida. Petty Officer Tony Long said the Coast Guard didn't know if the Haitians had sailed from their impoverished homeland or from another country. The Coast Guard, in October, returned more than 700 Haitians trying to reach the United States in accordance with the U.S. racist policy of forced repatriation. Well, they don't call it that, but you gotta call a spade a spade. Let's see what's going on on Monday in court, for those of you that like to watch things happening in court. Let's see, 9:30 a.m. in Manhattan, possible trial of Elizabeth Dugan charged with the murder of an escort agency owner. I'll be in front of Judge Weisberg. He's known as a hard judge to deal with, if you want my personal opinion. Reasonable, mind you, reasonable, but if he thinks you're guilty, you're up the creek. Anyway, that's room 571, 111 Center Street. Also, on 120 Skirmerhorn Street in State Supreme Court in Brooklyn, there'll be jury selection in the murder trial of Romaine LaFond, accused of killing a Hasidic woman in Crown Heights. And Judge Aguido will be handling that one. There's rumors going around about him. I won't spread them. But you know what these rumors can mean, especially in a case like this. All right. I also have a court appearance. It all started at 9:30 a.m. for some reason. This is in the Bronx. We're trying to cover everybody so that, you know, you can go to the one that's closest to you. In the Bronx, at 9:30 a.m., a court appearance is scheduled for Arlene Latch, who's charged with killing her 2-year-old son and stabbing her daughter, in that order. Stabbing her daughter, mother, and grandmother. Interesting. You stab the matriarchs and you kill the male members of the family. Interesting. Judge Torres, no sense of humor at all, will be listening to that one. And also in Queens, they'll, let's see, which is the best one here? Okay, how about this one? This is at 2 p.m. There'll be a hearing for Chefidian Wine. That's the name, I'm not kidding. In a custodial interference case, those are the best, in which a mother's 2 young children were spirited away to Pakistan. Spirited away. 4 years ago. And Justice Joy, biggest mistake you could ever make would be to make fun of Justice Joy's name. We'll be hearing that case. And that's all from the court news. We'll be right back. All right, we've got the mobile operator ringing here.
Marine operator, may I help
Marine,
you?
Marine, I'm sorry. Yes, hello. I'm wondering how I can make a phone call to a ship at sea.
You know the ship's location, sir?
I know it's on its way from France to Japan, and I imagine it's going to the Mediterranean.
So we don't handle that. Any boat out of the New York area, we can't handle, sir, because our receiver cannot go out that far. Once it leaves the New York area, we have no control over it, sir.
I see. Do you know who I would contact to do that?
Well, you're going to have to try to call information to ask the high seas operator.
Oh, the high seas operator. Okay. Now, if I was calling a boat here, though, how would I go about doing that?
All right. You would have to tell me the boat's location in New York, and I would have to take down information such as your name and the telephone number where I could reach by. And what we do is we would try to tell the vessel on several channels. And if I get a response, I'll call you back.
I see. Is it possible to make collect calls?
Excuse me?
Is it possible to make collect calls this way?
Collect calls? Meaning that, if you're on a boat and you're trying to call home or something?
Well, no, actually, I'm trying to reach the boat. Is it possible to call the boat collect?
So what it is the boat has a radio on it, so it's not a collect call. They would have to call me, and then I'll have to call you back, and they're going to have to charge you collect.
I think I understand. Okay. And, all right, well, then, when we have a boat in the area, then we'll call you. And this is the right number to call, right?
Right.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, sir.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
So that's how you make a Marine call locally, but that's not what we want to do. That's never what we wanted to do. We wanted to call the high seas operator. Oh, this is exciting. Let's, see what we're able to uncover here. Never asked for anything like this before.
New York Telephone, may I help you?
yes, hi, operator. I need the high seas operator, please.
Also long distance.
Note how she knew that was long distance.
One moment for a long distance operator who can assist you.
They used to say thank you on that recording. Typical.
AT&T, how can we help you?
Hello, I'm trying to reach the high seas operator, please.
Certainly, one moment.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're off to a good start with this one. Some operators start by insulting you, and that never is a good thing. $12.29. Our phone number is 632-6901. Area code 516.
Connecting you now.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
What kind of message should we give to this boat if we do get through? The at Calcutta. Oh, that's a ring from the past.
AT&T High Seas, how can we help you?
Oh, they really do exist. Yes, this is the High Seas operator.
Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm trying to reach a boat that's on its way from France to Japan.
Okay, well, what vessel are you trying to reach?
It's called the Akatsuki Maru.
Okay, how would you go about spelling that, sir?
Well, I'd spell it Akatsuki, and then the second word, Maru.
Okay. Do you know what the call signs of the vessel are?
No, that I don't have.
Okay. You're spelling it Akatsuki, and another word is Maru.
Yeah, for Akatsuki, right.
What kind of vessel is this, sir?
This is a freighter.
It's a freighter?
Yes.
And it is a Japanese freighter?
I would guess so from the name that it's Japanese freighter, yeah. It's carrying plutonium. Lethal dose. In some people's opinion, a lethal dose. You know, they don't have the name of the Greenpeace ship, unfortunately. I wish they did.
Okay, sir. And what's your area code and phone number?
Well, how's this going to work? Are you going to call me back?
Yes, we were, sir. How this works is we work in conjunction with three radio stations. They'll be broadcasting to the vessel, and when they locate the vessel, they'll have the vessel call back in.
Okay. How does billing accomplished?
Billing is billed to your telephone number,
Okay, so we had made arrangements to call them collect. How does that work?
We can't place a collect call to any vessel.
Okay. I'm not sure if the number I'm calling from can accept billing. Is it possible to find out?
Yes, it is, sir.
Okay, I'm calling from 516-632-6901.
Okay, I'll be off line a moment, sir.
He's going to come back. He's going to tell us that, no, we can't bill to that number because that's not a real phone number. That's just that pseudo Stony Brook type of phone system that doesn't really do anything. He might not say those exact words, but it'll be there in his tone. You know it. I know it. The American people know it.
Okay, sir. Yeah, that number that you're calling from is a restricted line. We cannot bill to that number.
I see. Okay, well, I guess I'll just have to find another way of doing it then. How long does it generally take to reach a ship at sea?
It can take anywhere from a few minutes up to a few hours, sir.
I see. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
All right.
Thank you for calling AT&T.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's the end of that. Well, had we had a real phone line, we could be speaking to the people on that Japanese boat and maybe convincing them to go somewhere else with the plutonium. Maybe they can come here with plutonium. Anyway, it's 12:32. And we're going to try calling overseas later. But first, we've got some cheesy announcements for you. These were brought to my attention during the week, and I don't know where they came from or why they're here, but I'm glad they are. 632-6901, we'll be taking phone calls in just a couple of minutes, but first, these important messages.
I planted this tree the day your father was born.
Wow.
He would have been 38 this year. Losing him was tough on all of us, but even before you were born, your father worked hard to make sure you and your mother would be okay.
We are.
Yes, you are. Better than okay. You know, a lot of other people help, too.
Who?
Oh, people you never met. Good working people.
How'd they help?
Something called Social Security. With everybody helping, we all get something. And when you're old enough, you'll be able to return the favor just by working. You know what this little fella is?
That's my tree.
That's right.
The Social Security system is designed to not only give people a start on their retirement plans, but to offer basic survivor and disability benefits. Everyone working contributes, and everyone has the benefit of knowing it's there. Find out what will be there for you. Ask for your free personal earnings and benefit estimate statement. Write to Benefits, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009. Social Security. There's safety in our numbers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes us feel real good about growing old together. Social Security is going to be there for us, and we'll be planting trees and all kinds of neat things like this. How about sex? Yeah, sex is a little bit more interesting. Yeah, I remember.
So many voices, makes it hard to know what's right. Talk to me, I'll talk to you.
Talk openly with your kids about the responsibilities of sex. Call us at 1-800-522-5006.
Talk to me, and I'll talk to you. Help me to know what I'm going through. Show me that I'm not alone. Growing up begins at home.
A message from the Governor's Task Force on Adolescent Pregnancy.
Talk to me.
Governor's Task Force on Adolescent Pregnancy. That's amazing. I wonder, do you call that number to find out, you know, various things, or do you call them to, as a parent, to find out what you should and shouldn't say to your child and what's permitted by the government agency and all that kind of thing? I don't know. I'm not here to pass judgment. I'm just here to spread the good word.
Social Security. I'll never see it.
Yeah, me neither.
The deficit ate it all up.
Fact, Social Security is financially sound. The fund grows by more than $100,000 every minute of the day.
Anyway, why have a fund just for retirement?
Fact, Social Security pays survivor and disability benefits, too.
Yeah, well, even if I was still around by then, how am I supposed to make do on that?
Fact, Social Security is a foundation to build on.
Who knows where it goes? I could no more figure out what it'll do for me than fly to the moon.
Fact, you can get a free personal earnings and benefit estimate statement from Social Security. It projects your retirement benefits based on when you want to retire and tells you what today's disability and survivor benefits would be. For more information, write to Benefits, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009. Social Security. From survivor benefits to retirement, there's safety in our numbers. Fact.
That public service announcement was pre-recorded. We had nothing to do with it. Fact. Don't you hate people that walk up to you in your face and say, fact, you're wrong. I'm right. Yeah. They're usually conservatives that do that, too. Just to be fair, I don't like people that walk up to you and say question and then ask a question. It's so annoying. But this fat guy, man, this fat guy has got to go. All right. That's enough cheese for one night, I think. 12:37 in the morning. We'll call overseas somewhere later, but we don't know what to call for. It's a problem we've always had, but we'll worry about that when we get to it. Good morning.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
It's going okay. We've got a new president.
Well, not yet.
Well, no, but he's coming.
Yeah.
Coming round the mountain when he comes.
So anything happened last week? I missed the show.
Well, so did I. I wasn't here, so I have no idea what happened.
Who's here, Matt?
I assume so, that he was given his assignment to be here, and I assume he carried it through with dignity and poise.
Yeah, because I was arrested last week.
What'd you do?
I egged a cop car.
You egged a cop car?
Yeah, man, it was messed up. He made me put my hands on the car and all that.
With all the eggs still on it?
And he fucked me up the ass, man.
Good morning.
Good morning, Eric.
How you doing?
All right. I got a little something I want to read to you. I found an article in the paper.
Okay, good for you.
Okay, it's about a new priest at his first mass.
Yeah?
Okay, it says, the new priest at his first mass was so afraid that he could hardly speak. Before his second week at the pulpit, he asked the Monsignor how he could relax. So the Monsignor said, next week it might help if you put martinis in the water pitcher. So the next week, the young priest put his elder's suggestion into the practice and really cooked up a storm. So after the sermon, he asked the Monsignor how he had done. Monsignor replied, fine, but there are a few things you should learn before you address the congregation again. Number one, next time, sip the martinis rather than down them glassful by glassful. Number two, there are 10 commandments, not 12. Number three, there are 12 apostles, not 10. Number four, David slew Goliath. He didn't kick the crap out of him. Number five, we do not refer to our Savior Jesus Christ and his disciples as the late J.C. and the boys.
Oh, that's out, huh?
What's that?
That's out. You can't do that.
No, you can't.
Okay.
Okay, there's five more. Number six, next Sunday, there's a taffy pulling contest at St. Peter's, not a Peter pulling contest at St. Taffy's. Number seven, we do not refer to the cross as the big T.
Ah, right.
Number eight, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are not referred to as Big Daddy Jr. and the Spook. Okay, number nine, please, it's the Virgin Mary, not Mary with the cherry. Number 10, and last but not least, when you leave the altar, walk down the steps, don't fly down the rail. Amen.
Wow, that's quite a few handy tips there for all of our people involved in this kind of thing.
Yes, I think it was good clean comedy.
Where did this come from?
Actually, I lied. One of my friends put on a video. I said, I want to tell you this from the paper because you probably wouldn't have let me read it anyway.
Sure, I'd let people read things. If you said it from a paper, I probably wouldn't have let you read it.
Okay. No, it was just one of my friends from Hopwell gave it to me.
Uh-huh.
But,
this is being passed around in churches, I suppose.
Actually, I was thinking about photocopying and passing around in church, but I don't think they would really appreciate it.
Well, yeah, but, you know, people never appreciate what's good for them.
Yeah.
If you leave a few of those on the pews.
Yeah, hang on a second. I'm getting a beep.
You're getting a beep?
Yeah, hold on.
He's getting a beep? I don't get it.
Hello?
Do you mean call waiting?
Yeah. Somebody was going to call me at this particular moment in time because someone was calling me on the radio, so my phone would ring and wake up my parents.
Ah, that's very good. That's smart. That's using your brain.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, call someone and then have them call you while you're on call waiting, or call someone else.
Oh, yeah, it's great. So what'd you do tonight, man?
Well, you have them on hold, I assume.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll talk to her in a little while.
Well, I had an interesting experience walking over here, in fact. I walked under a tree, and you know how all the leaves are on the ground?
Yeah.
I was kicking the leaves.
Really?
And I guess I never thought of this before, but, you know, all those birds you see in the daytime?
Hmm.
Well, they got to be somewhere at night. You never really think about where they are.
Where do they go?
Well, I found out. They all go up to the trees, and they sleep there, but when you go under the tree and kick leaves, you wake them all up. And when you wake them all up, all of a sudden you find yourself surrounded by 1,000 angry birds.
No way.
And that just happened to me a few minutes ago, and I'm still kind of shaken up by it because I thought it was like Hitchcock City or something. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Well, I'm still in shock.
Public safety here on campus specifically does not handle bird calls.
Oh, wow.
They don't. They've said that repeatedly. They say they don't have the equipment to do this. And, boy, I was sitting pretty there for a little while. Fortunately, I was able to get into the building and close the door behind. But those of you out on the campus, don't go out.
Cool.
Don't go out as angry birds out there.
Listen, have you ever taken an SAT?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
Well, the statute of limitations has run out on
me. I took one the second time this morning.
You took one for the second time in one morning?
I had to take it over because I got a 660 on the first one because the night before I got drunk.
Wait a minute. You don't know what you got in an SAT until, like,
no, I took it in last May.
Oh, you didn't take two in one day, then?
No.
All right.
Took one last May, and I got a 660 on it because the night before I got drunk.
A 660 on both or on one?
On both.
That's a combined score?
Yeah.
That's kind of low, isn't it?
Yeah, well, because I got drunk the night before. Because
these, you know, these obnoxious kids that get 800 on both, on each. So that's a total of 1,600.
Yeah, I know.
Boy.
Well, I retook it today. Just, you know, hopefully I get my grade up.
Uh-huh. Well, did it feel better?
Yeah, I didn't get drunk Friday last night.
You didn't get drunk at all?
And I went to the Coliseum tonight to watch the Yamaha lose to the expansion Tampa Bay Lightning.
Boy, it must be embarrassing to have a hockey team lose to a new team for Florida.
It was very embarrassing. I mean, and I don't even want to call the sports section tomorrow, but I have to because I'm obligated to.
Why are you obligated to?
Yeah, it's like I'm Dan from Port Jeff, the big... only one that ever calls that show.
The only one that ever called that show. That's interesting, man.
You get so many calls on the Saturday night, but nobody ever wants to call that show and talk about sports. So all your brain damage listeners, call the show tomorrow. I want to hear some more opinions besides my own over the air.
People are doing different things on Sunday night. God knows what, but Sunday night supposedly is the worst night for radio, which is why they put all the commercial stations through this. They put all the public service programs on Sunday night because they think nobody's listening. This is kind of late Sunday. This is like around midnight or so. But you have to wonder, what are people doing on Sunday night? It's so special. I mean...
Watching TV.
What's on TV on Sunday night?
And Hallmark. A lot of kids do Hallmark Sunday night.
Well, yeah, but kids aren't the only people listening to radio.
Yeah.
I don't know. The whole thing kind of baffles me.
Cool. All right, let me go. I got to go talk to this person.
Okay, well, have a good conversation.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
He's released to his call waiting. Call in waiting. Isn't that nice? 632-6901... That's our telephone number. And, well, I guess we'll be nice today and release the other line. 632-6500. Area code 516. Good morning. Oh, they hung up. After waiting 15 minutes, they hung up. Good morning.
Hey, Eric.
How you doing?
Fine. How do you feel about Bill Clinton being president?
Well, you know, it's different. Who I voted for.
Okay.
That's my policy.
Don't reveal, kid.
I was not happy with the way the Senate race turned out. I will say that.
Well, it's for other people.
Yeah, it does. It does. But I'll tell you this, though. If I voted for somebody that was either a Democrat or a Republican, and they were running on another party, I always voted for that other party, only because it has more of an effect somehow. You know what I mean? If a Democrat is running on the liberal ticket or a Republican is running on the conservative ticket.
Right to life.
Right to life.
You know,
abortion mongers, you know, baby killers, whatever platform it is that they're standing on. You know, I always vote for that platform just to make a point.
Well, there's one good thing that came out of it, though.
Only one?
Yeah, that I can think of that Clinton won.
All right. And what might that be?
Well, if Mr. Quayle holds to his word, he's never going to call up again.
Yeah, well, actually, he hasn't called in the last few weeks, I don't believe, and...
Well, last week.
We should be hearing from Mr. Gore soon.
I don't know, he called last week, and, like, he was like, this won't be my last week calling. He was like, and he revealed that he had $44 down on bets that Bush would win.
Well, he'll be busy scraping up money for the next few weeks, I guess.
I just want to know, why are you putting plugs on for Social Security? Just like a minor ripoff, pretty much.
No, we're just presenting the facts.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to know the facts. And they work very hard presenting facts for us, and we wish to make sure that, you know, we're just a medium for passing along facts.
Well, what would happen?
Nothing else.
What would happen, if I saw you, at a pizza place or something, and I walked up to you and went, fact, into your face?
I don't like people that say fact into your face like that. Really, you know, it's kind of obnoxious, and sometimes it's not even a fact, you know? All right, if you walked up to me and said, potential fact, There you go. That's at least a little bit more accurate.
What about maybe effect?
Too wordy. I'll lose interest after the second word.
What about theory?
The theory is good, but it's kind of intellectual. I don't like intellectuals.
Hypothesis?
Again, intellectual city. You know, I don't like big words like that thrown in my face from total strangers.
But guess.
That's funny. I like that. Guess. That's good. I like that. You'd be an instant friend if you did that.
Oh, well, next time I see you, I'll go guess.
Well, the only problem with that, though, is that could be taken as a verb as well. So you might be telling me to guess something, or you might be presenting me with a guess.
That's true.
Then I get confused, although I would think it's funny even though I'm confused.
That's true. I never thought of that.
Language is a funny thing.
Yes.
Got to be careful with it.
Mm. That's true. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Well, do you have anything you want to contribute?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, not a whole lot. I mean, this election was pretty interesting. Probably the most interesting election I've seen in years. And I think we owe a lot of it to Perot because he livened things up, you know?
Well, he's not the only one.
I wonder, though, if what percentage of the vote did Perot get? Something like 14%?
17%.
17%. And what was the percentage that Bush got and Clinton got?
That was pretty close. That was something like 42, 39, something like that.
So it looks pretty obvious to me. If Perot wasn't running, Bush would have gotten significantly more and probably would have won.
Well, you never know. The more people think that Perot took away from Clinton's vote.
In the latter part, true. But I think if you have to go with percentages, I think more than half of the votes Perot got would have gone to Bush.
Or the third party. Other third parties.
Yeah, but, you know, I haven't seen. Is there a publication somewhere that tells you the total number of votes and all the write-in votes and all that kind of thing?
You mean uncensored?
Well, just what everybody voted, yeah. Because a couple of people said they wrote me in for various posts, and I'd like to see how many people did that.
No, I haven't seen any.
Because I could get matching funds if there's enough.
Because I was reading Newsday.
It's not good for you to do that.
I know. I was just looking at Newsday Thursday. It's like I needed a good laugh, you know? It's like, and I know 10 people who wrote in this guy. It's like I know 10 people who wrote in this guy. It's like, and he said he had others, but I didn't know any of them.
Uh-huh.
He said he had around 30 who were definitely going to write him in for Congress and Assembly. And they didn't even put his name down.
Well, I mean, you need to see if the votes are actually counted. Because if they claim to count write-in votes, that's got to be written down somewhere.
I know, but
Daffy Duck and Mickey Mouse and whoever else got, you know, they could carry some votes, from what I understand.
If I was able to vote, I'd vote for you.
Well, you will be soon, right? Or unless you're in prison or something.
No, you're allowed to vote from prison. That's considered an absentee ballot.
Are you sure about that? Because I heard convicted felons cannot vote.
No, my dad received an absentee ballot in the mail, and like it said, this can be used if you're in college, on vacation, in the hospital, or in prison.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of people told me they would have been able to vote twice had they been dishonest, but by being registered in two places at once or something like that. I'd like to know if anybody actually did that.
Did you get a hassle when you went to vote?
A lot of people at Stony Brook did. I didn't myself because they happen to know me where I go. I vote in a very small place. And but I did go with some people to where Stony Brook students vote, and they were harassing people mercilessly. They would, take all kinds of information they didn't have to take. Do you know here at Stony Brook, if you move down the hall of a dormitory, that's considered an address change, and they will not let you vote unless you go through the whole process of re-registering again. This is, if you move to, down the hallway or to another building or, God forbid, across campus, but you stay on campus.
What about, like, across the hallway? Is that
anywhere. If you switch sides with your roommate, you have to go through this whole lengthy process as if you move to another, another place, but you're still on the same campus. You know, it's just not the same thing, and most people don't even know about this.
Kind of silly.
They would do other things like ask you, are you sure you know how this machine works?
Oh.
You know, treat people like 10-year-olds.
I know. My friend got a hassle. He, like, walked in there, and, like, the lady's like, she's like, are you registered with the Board of Elections? He's like, yeah, I sent him my registration. He's like, I never got anything back. He's like, but I sent him my registration. I called, like, a million times, and, like, they kept saying, oh, yeah, we have you. We'll send you something. He goes, but I never got anything. So she's like, name. So, like, he gave it to her, and she's like, cigar, you're registered. She's like, I need to sign here. So he gets the sign. She's like, no. She's like, you're supposed to sign higher. Like, so he got fed up. The only thing he could do was make fun of him. Six of them, like, well, what? It's like some guy comes up to him. It's like one of the, like, security guards or whatever. It's like he comes up to me. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm exercising my right to vote. I'm like, the guy's like, what are you, a wise ass? He's like, no.
Amazing. This was where?
This was at Millen Place High School.
Really?
Yeah. They, like, gave him such a hassle. Like, another one of my friends, it's like, he went to vote. It's like, and there's an elementary school right around the block from him. It's like a 2.5 minute walk. He went there, and like they're like, no, you got to go 7 miles down the road to vote. So he had to get in his car, drive down to vote when there was an elementary school right around the block from him.
7 miles, huh? Well, you know, that happens a lot, but if they don't tell you about it, that makes it awfully inconvenient. Yeah, and I heard an interesting story. I forget where I heard this, but they say the reason Election Day is on Tuesday is because it dates back to, previous centuries and all. Everybody would go to church on Sunday. That's why they don't have it on the weekends, which would seem to make sense.
Saturday would be the Jewish...
Well, no, that's not... They didn't consider that back then, but Sunday was like a pivotal day, and you had to be around Sunday and days preceding and following Sunday. But this is what people would do. On Monday, they get into their carriages or whatever and set off for town, which is where the polling booths were. It would sometimes take a full day to get there, and sometimes they'd have to spend the night, and Tuesday would be the day that they voted, and then they'd go back.
Well, if they'd have to...
But they had to leave on Monday and not Sunday because Sunday was church day.
You can't leave. You're supposed to be a full day of getting acquainted with God.
Well, yeah, they needed more saving back then, I guess.
Yeah, but then again, you could buy things back then.
I mean, you could buy things. Like what?
I forget. Martin Luther didn't want. I forget what they're called. I don't know. It's those things.
What, little coupons or something?
Pretty much. That's what they became.
Free passes into heaven?
That's what they became, yeah. Right, what do you think of the Vatican reversing their thing on Galileo?
Well, I think it's about time. I mean, after how many hundreds of years they finally...
350 after Galileo proposed it.
350 years they admit that Galileo was not that bad for suggesting that the Earth revolved around the sun instead of the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a progressive church. You gotta stand back and let it move because it's going to go places.
It took 350 years to say, hey, this guy was right.
Well, they were searching for the right words. And they found them.
350 years
ago. Do you know about the guy in Michigan who's being forced to undergo psychiatric evaluation because he writes sevens with a little slash through them?
Yeah, that's the thing. I do that too because where I used to go to school, I had to take Spanish. And it's like that's how the Europeans write their sevens.
Uh-huh.
It's like, so like if you didn't write that on a test, you should take points off. So like I didn't like to lose points, so therefore it's like, yeah, it's like anyone who has her, you could just walk up to me the whole way and go, write a seven, and I'll go, and write the line without even thinking about it.
It's conformity.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They do it in the military, too, though, and they yell at this guy.
Well, this guy, I believe, was a cop, and he was suspended and forced to undergo psychiatric evaluation because he would not follow orders and stop putting the slash in the seven. And I think it's about time, because once you let things like that get out of hand, the whole alphabet is at risk.
You're suspended 2 days without pay.
I mean, you'll have umlauts before you know it floating around.
Aykroyd changed the alphabet.
Who changed the alphabet?
Dan Aykroyd.
Well, he had no right to do that.
You never seen that on Saturday Night Live?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's funny.
Because I am on here Saturday Night Live, you see.
No, the old ones. I'm saying you can watch them on VH1.
Oh.
They're funny.
I don't get cable.
Oh, yeah.
My TV's broken. I don't have electricity.
I'll tape it for you.
I can't see or hear.
Well, you got a VCR, don't you?
No, nothing. Enough excuses for you?
Locust?
But I'll listen. I'll listen. I'll listen to what you have to say about it.
Locust. A good friend came in from out of town. Trucks didn't come back from cleaners. A flat tire.
Who had a flat tire?
You.
I did. When?
Just yesterday.
I did?
I fixed it for you while you weren't there.
You know, that's kind of funny, because I did have a flat tire yesterday. I don't know how you would know about that, but...
Who do you think did it?
I don't know.
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that.
No, but it's uncanny that you would say that, because I was in Brooklyn, and I had a flat tire in the middle of the night. And you know what I had to do? I had to pay 50 cents to a machine to give me air. 50 cents. Actually, the machine said 25 cents, so I put in 25 cents.
It didn't work.
I went around like a fool to all four of my tires and held the thing there, thinking it was working, and then realizing that it wasn't actually doing anything, or if it was going very, very slowly. So then I thought, okay, maybe I'll put another quarter in, because maybe somehow my time expired. And then I did that, and the machine started making all these noises, like it was finally working.
And what time was this at?
This was at about 4 in the morning.
And it was making all this noise?
Well, I mean, it didn't really wake up anybody. There's nothing but a highway out there.
No, I don't know. I was just making up all the excuses from the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, but you see, you know, occasionally you make things up. They're true. So that's why I encourage people to make up all kinds of things, because occasionally you'll hit upon the truth and everybody will think you know what's going on.
I did that today, as a matter of fact.
You just did it now.
I know. It's like this afternoon.
Good day for you.
Yeah. This afternoon, my brother's friend, he was supposed to come over, like, but he's not late. And, like, he's 23, but he likes to ride his bike around to just stay in shape.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I know. So he's an hour and a half late. So my brother gets a phone call. He's like, my mother's like, Tom, it's Charlie. So he goes to the phone. I'm like, Tom, you got to pick me up. My bike broke down. So everybody laughs. It's like, so he gets off the phone. He's like, no, Charlie ain't coming. His bike broke.
So you anticipated what he was going to say.
I was joking, but yes.
Well, it was a good guess. I mean, he was an hour and a half late, and he had a bicycle, and he must be calling for some reason.
I'm worried, though. I'm like, afraid that, like, I mentally willed it to happen.
Well, you got to be careful. Have you, like, sent anybody into cornfields recently?
Yeah, I did.
No, you shouldn't do that.
And if you build it, they will come, and, like, next thing I know, there's this guy in a cornfield with me. I'm like...
No, you got to be careful, you know. I mean, let people be who they are. And don't make them disappear if they're bad.
I'm sorry.
That's just friendly advice.
I'll never do it again.
Well, I'm not saying you did anything wrong. Because I don't want to go anywhere either. But, all right, so I'm going to get another phone call.
Okay, no problem. Nice
talking
to you.
Thanks for calling. We have a bulletin in. Everybody gather around. That's a nice thing about radio. It's so intimate. Everyone gather around. Gather around the radio. Get comfortable. So we're going to be here a while. It's, just in. Some rather disturbing news here on campus. Seems that the campus police, known as public safety, I'd like to know who thought of that name. They're not happy with it, I know that. It's an interesting name, public safety. But you know, during the French Revolution, public safety were the people that killed everybody. That's true. The Reign of Terror was all the public safety. You know, they went around and they mowed down people. Of course, they didn't have machine guns back then, but they did the equivalent. They did the best they could with what they had. And it was, you ever see the film Danton? That's a great film to see about terror and you know, public safety was behind it all. But that doesn't really have much to do with this. That's something to think about. Anyway, public safety here on campus, who really aren't responsible for any reign of terror as far as I know, have investigated a report of a male person, not a male person delivering mail, but a male, you know, a person that has, you know, male characteristics. Anyway, this person was seen carrying a one-way street sign. Yeah, one-way street sign was seen carrying. He was walking on North Loop Road on the way to the dormitories known as Kelly Quad, and, this is the odd part. Upon arrival, the suspect was gone. I don't know what that means, whose arrival they're talking about, but if he arrived and he was gone and he vaporized or he got beamed aboard a ship or something, if they arrived and he was gone, then I don't know how they knew they arrived. I mean, if someone's not there, how do you know you arrived at where they were? Unless the one-way sign was still there. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, and it's a serious matter, that there is a one-way sign that somebody is carrying around campus. Nobody knows who this person is. Nobody knows what his next target will be, or if he's simply going to terrorize people with this one-way sign that he has. I mean, this could be the start of a lot of things. This could be stop signs, do not enter signs, no parking signs. Can you imagine a campus without no parking signs? Not to mention the fact that there's a road out there without a one-way sign that's a one-way street. Oh, you laugh. You think it's a funny situation, but there's a lot of confused people here on campus right now. Yeah. 632-6901, 632-6500. And I will say this. On one of those lines, there's a blank line, so those of you who are real quick on the trigger might be able to get in. Good morning.
Hello.
How you doing?
Sir.
Not much. How are you?
I'm all right.
You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Why?
Well, trying to make friendly conversation, you know? It's...
You know who this is?
No, how do I know who this is? I don't have caller ID.
Oh, why isn't that on tonight?
Why isn't Matt on? Because I'm on. He was on last week.
I'm not complaining. I'm just wondering.
Well, I mean, that's just the way things are, you know? Why ask why?
But try. Well, this is Jay.
That's an interesting point. Okay, but that still doesn't answer my question. Where are you calling from? See, I don't really need to know your name.
I'm calling from Northport.
Ah, Northport. You see, now I have something to talk to you about, Northport.
Well,
you
listen.
Know, there's trolley tracks going down the village of Northport.
That's right.
See,
but
I know these things.
Yo, check this out, dude.
Okay.
I am Mr. Clinton now, right? Whenever I call.
You're now Mr. Clinton.
I'm so happy he won.
Oh, yeah, I think too, if you're Mr. Clinton.
Dude, I have to be his biggest supporter. That's all I talk about is Clinton.
Really? How long ago did you start supporting Clinton?
Ever since I found out he was running.
And when was that?
A while ago.
Yeah?
Did you see him on MTV? That MTV thing there?
I saw bits of that, and he looked really cool.
He was sharp, dude.
He's a sharp guy.
Super
yeah.
smart.
He's not that distanced from the young generation.
Yeah, I mean, who cares about the pot?
And did you see Gore? He was, like, jumping into the crowd like he was, you know, I don't know, like Bruce Springsteen or something.
I hate George Bush, man.
Well, you only have a couple more months of him, and then he's out the pasture.
And Huntington, I was reading that Northport paper, The Observer, you hear that?
Yeah.
And the majority of people in Huntington voted for Bush.
Well, the majority of people on Long Island, I think, are Republicans.
Yeah, but, like, every teacher votes for Clinton.
Well, you know, teachers know the score.
Yeah, because it's education.
Teachers know what time it is.
But, oh, I'm so happy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's better times ahead. Why do you think things will change now?
I don't know. Well, I don't think, it might not change a lot, but he'll definitely be better.
Yeah.
Seems like such a cool guy, like.
Well, maybe the cities will get more money, maybe they'll be less spent on defense.
The personality. George yeah. Bush was the personality of a freaking nail.
I think so.
I hate George Bush.
Well, I mean, you contradict yourself. You compliment him, and then you say you hate him. Well, I mean, you said more about him than anyone else I know would say.
Well,
the personality of a nail?
Well, he will, but
all kinds of nails.
Voice or something.
Uh-huh.
Probably Mr. Gore.
Mr. Gore. What do you think of Gore?
I think he's pretty smart, too. He was on the MTV Forum. He was, you know, George Bush didn't do that, and the Perot, they didn't have the balls to go on there and do that.
No, Perot was an interesting character, but he definitely was not in touch with the people.
I saw something on TV today.
Yeah?
And they had, Perot was, like, talking and stuff. It probably wasn't recent, but he had this bumper sticker that says Perot in 96.
Oh, boy, here we go.
He's thinking ahead. I mean, if Clinton does good, which I think he will, he'll be reelected.
I'd like to ask this question, throw this out to the audience in general. When was the last time an elected Republican president was defeated in a re-election bid? Anybody care to guess on that?
70-something?
Well, you have to tell me who and...
I have no clue.
Yeah.
Is it Carter?
No, Republican. He was Democrat.
Oh, that's right. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy. What were you for Halloween?
What was I for Halloween?
Yeah.
I was just kind of strange. I'll just put it that way.
What was Matt Fidel Castro or something?
No.
That's
Matt
what he said.
Fidel Castro?
No, he was something like that.
Well, I didn't see him as that.
Some communist guy. But, you know, just for a joke.
That's interesting. I don't know. I didn't see him as that. I could see him as that, but I didn't see him as that.
I was Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, that's nice. Hope you had fun.
That's my idol.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Well, maybe he could be pen pals.
If I meet him, we'd be superheroes and, like, rule the world.
Well,
You like that? You know about that guy, right?
I know all about that guy, yes.
I want to tell one story, but my friend who voted, he didn't like anybody. So I told him, he did a write-in vote for Jeffrey Dahmer.
See, that's why I wanted to be able to check these things, to see what kind of people got write-in votes.
Must be, like, weird people got voted.
Yeah.
That's cool that he did that, though.
But Elvis got a lot of votes.
I wish I could have voted.
Why didn't you?
I wasn't old enough. I won't be 18 until January.
You blew it, man.
I can help it.
Well, yeah, I guess not. Not really.
Not that earlier, but, you know, I have no control over that.
Yeah, well, you know.
But
yeah, I guess it's not your fault.
Well, the story about Jeffrey Dahmer, I don't know if you heard this one, where he got some Oriental guy at his house.
Yeah.
They were doing stuff, you know, fooling around, and you know, Dahmer got all tough and stuff. So the Oriental guy ran out of the house naked.
Yeah, yeah.
Down the street,
yeah.
And, like, Dahmer ran after him, and like, the cops stopped and stopped the Oriental guy. And Jeffrey Dahmer's like, oh, yeah, we're gay, and then, like, we just had a lover's quarrel. And the cops laughed at him, and, like, they both Dahmer, like, told the aliens to get in common, and they both walked back to his house, and Dahmer killed him.
Right.
Oh, that's so great.
that's your opinion. That's what we're here for, to express many opinions. Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Jack Kemp, 96.
I don't tolerate those kind of things on the air. Good morning.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. People are saying things like Jack Kemp in 96.
Well, it's a possibility.
Yeah, but come on. Let's at least try to think, you know, like there's going to be a sunrise tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true.
Jack Kemp in 96. I mean, well, that's a horrible thing to say to somebody this time of night.
Yeah, I haven't called in like 6 months.
Really?
Yeah, because there's like too many callers and they're like all discussing marital affairs and whatnot.
None of them are discussing marital affairs around here.
Well, like 6 months ago, I was like, oh, meet me at the mall. And we'll meet, like skinheads and morons like that.
Yeah, we have that occasionally.
Yeah, well, I was getting sick and tired of listening to that, so I figured I'd stay off for a while. And
well, here you are, you're on again.
Yeah, sure am. You were talking about bad radio shows to have.
Bad radio shows. Well, I was talking about cheesy public service announcements.
Like bad time slots and whatnot?
Bad time slots. Oh, you mean Sunday nights?
Yeah, well, I got a worse one. Okay. I'm on a very, very small radio station in Manhattan. It's the Fashion Institute of Technology radio station.
Is that a Carrier Current station?
That's the Carrier Current station. And we're like I'm trying to give stuff away and nobody will call.
Is that 90.3?
No, it's AM. It's 53.
Really? 53 AM?
Yes.
If I was to drive around there with my radio tuned to 53, would I be able to get anything?
Well, only if you're driving down 27th Street.
Okay, well, something to remember. I do drive down 27th Street.
You can drive down 27th Street next to the school because there's barriers and whatnot.
Oh, so you can't even do that?
No. If you're, like, in the dorms, you could hear it.
So if I was to walk by FIT on 27th Street with a transistor radio and tune it to 530, I'd be able to hear that station.
Perhaps.
Well, I guess you don't get much response when you offer things, do you?
Not really.
Yeah.
I generally end up with them.
You know, we used to be a Carrier Current station here.
Oh, yeah? How long ago was that?
Before 1977. We used to be 820 AM.
Oh, yeah?
And that was through the 60s as well.
Did you, like, broadcast in cafeterias and whatnot?
We broadcast in the dormitories.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we're doing now.
It was interesting because some people who were involved at that time told me that it was quite an experience to do a radio show knowing that absolutely nobody was listening.
Yeah, it's like talking to yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, and that's what some people did.
Like a radio.
They're doing it to this day as a result.
Like you're playing CDs for yourself and talking to yourself.
Yeah, of course, they didn't have CDs back then.
Oh.
They barely had vinyl.
We're playing 8-tracks?
8-tracks were the future back then.
Oh, yeah, like playing glass records?
We had a lot of misguided notions, but we've been set straight.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw something, speaking of Jack Kemp, I saw something in Newsday, they said Jack Kemp is like the GOP's, what the hell's his name, Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
I was kind of like, huh? But I guess he is, kind of, sort of.
Kind of, sort of, huh?
Kind of.
Maybe. But, you know, I prefer to look ahead just to, just ahead.
4 years before anybody can do anything, well, unless Clinton's impeached or something.
But Fidel Castro is here. Isn't Fidel Castro on Halloween?
People called me that.
Well, people have called you all kinds of things, man.
Yeah, but never Fidel Castro.
Well, someone here just said you were Fidel Castro Halloween.
Hey, is Matt there?
Yeah, Matt just poked his head through the wall.
Yes, I was, yeah.
Hey, say to Matt, Trout.
Oh, please.
He seems to...
I haven't heard that word in a year.
No, it's like 6 months. Something like that.
Obviously, you have a little communications secret here with Matt that I won't interfere with.
Well, I'd rather not remember.
Was that bad an experience?
Huh?
Was it that bad an experience?
No, I started getting boring after a while.
Oh.
I don't even want to know what this is all about, and I'm not going to push the point. It's just something that obviously is not my concern.
Well, it's no one's concern, actually, not even ours.
And I'm happy with that.
Okay.
Where are you calling from, sir?
The fine hamlet of Central Islip.
Central Islip. That's a nice place.
He's what a dump.
What?
I didn't get that either.
What a dump.
I think he's insulting your hometown. Perhaps the two of you could exchange addresses and phone numbers and battle this out in person.
It's going to be more terrible when Rick Lazio becomes our congressman.
Yeah, he's the one that beat Downey, huh?
Yeah,
How come Downey lost? It makes no sense to me.
It's probably because the Republican machine in town of Islip, more or less.
But he didn't. I mean, I saw him walking around, you know, in Bayshore the other day, just sort of muttering to himself up and down the street, and obviously he didn't expect to lose. Something went wrong. What was it, you know?
I don't know. I had, like, a personal argument with Rick Lazio at the train station one day when he was campaigning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what, like, cleared my vote against him.
Yeah.
that he was immature enough to argue with me, like, in front of, like, all these commuters.
Did he have to be restrained?
Oh, not really. It wasn't going to get, like, a heated argument.
Okay. Well, you know, when politicians need to be restrained from like, lunging at you, that's when you know they probably won't do well in the halls of Congress.
Yeah, generally.
Just my impression, anyway. I've been told that generally holds true.
Well, Bush has gone a little nuts sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know, he tried to turn on the heat, but it just didn't work. And, I don't know. He just didn't seem to have a good campaign, to be honest, which suits me fine. But, you know, he had a lot of things to answer for. I don't think we were hard enough on him. I mean, he admitted to lying last week, but nobody ever really pushed the point.
Yeah, now they're trying to get him to pardon Poindexter and them.
He better move fast, because I don't think Clinton's going to do that.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. Somebody's got to pay the price for this.
That's true. Someone should.
I mean, nobody has yet. And they're trying to blame it on Ollie North. I mean, lieutenant colonels don't make international decisions like that.
No, this was obviously made at the top, and obviously we weren't told the truth. But there's nothing new in that, is there?
Nope.
All right, listen, sir, we're going to go on to another phone call. Thanks for calling.
Sure. Bye. Right,
take care. 632-6901, 632-6500. He disappeared, didn't he?
Yep.
All right, he vaporized. All right, let's take another phone call. Good morning.
Hey, Eric, what's up? How you doing?
How you doing?
Nah, I just got in. Yo, Eric, Matt did put me, he threw me in a cornfield.
Matt threw you in a cornfield?
Yeah, a couple of calls ago, that guy that called me.
Oh, that Matt?
Yeah, he threw me in a cornfield.
Is that what you're calling from now?
Yeah.
Cornfield with a phone?
Yeah. There's a phone hooked. It's hooked up to some lady's house.
So you're very lucky, because when you throw someone in a cornfield, the intention is that they'd not be able to communicate back with the place from whence they came.
Yeah, I've been here for a week already.
A week, huh?
No, I'm just kidding.
you're just kidding about being there a week. How long have you been there?
A day and a half.
Day and a half, okay.
I was going to tell you something.
Still a long time.
Yeah, and I'm freezing out here. I'll get you back, Matt.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Matt can't touch you in the cornfield, can he?
No, I'll run and hide. He won't find me. Yo, listen, Eric.
Yeah.
I think it was on Channel 2 at 4 o'clock. They had some magazine show.
Uh huh.
And they were talking to people from each state, going around asking them about Clinton.
Yeah.
A lot of the people was more concerned about the health insurance and all that, the health care.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were saying, I hope he does keep his word on that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he says that now, you know, and anything can happen, you know? But what do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah,
is he going to keep his promise? I hope he... What exactly was his promise?
I don't know. Something that better health care for people or something like that. It was.
Well, he never actually came out and said he was for national health, but he was for making it easier for people to get insurance and for
yeah, that's what he meant.
For it to be more in that direction. I would hope he goes further than what he said, because
yeah,
that's really what we need, and it works in many places already.
Yeah, and then, like, on the commercial, you see Bush, like the old camp commercial, says, you're going to be better off 4 years from now. You see that commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not showing already. It's like, it was worthless.
Yeah.
Worse now than before.
But it was a fun election, you know?
Yeah, I think he was full of it.
Yeah, well, there's a
good degree of that. I agree with that guy. I think Clinton, you know, is a little bit better than Bush. We need to change. We'll just see if he keeps his word.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know.
Okay, listen, thanks for calling.
So, Eric.
Yes.
I was just saying hi to Matt, what's up, and Mike out there. I want some answers number. And Matt, give me a buzz tomorrow. I got to talk to you. Bye.
Okay. Thanks for calling. 632-6901, 632-6500. And, let's see, what do we have here? We have a couple of stories from campus. Things going on here at Stony Brook. First of all, they're thinking of changing the name of a dormitory. Not a dormitory, but a group of buildings. You see, here in Stony Brook, we have collections of buildings, I guess is the best way to describe them. And we call those quads. And there's usually anywhere from 3 to 5 buildings in a quad. And we currently have G quad, H quad, Tabler quad, Roth quad, Kelly quad, and Eleanor Roosevelt quad, which used to be called Stage 12. Not Stage 12 quad, mind you, but just Stage 12. And then you have the graduate housing, which used to be known as Stage 16, and now that's known as Harry Chapin Apartments. And then you got these new graduate places, which are just called new graduate housing, I believe. Yeah. They get less and less imaginative with the passing years. But, and then each building has its own little name after that. you know, is a name for every single building. The controversy now centers around the plan to rename G Quad to Mendelssohn Quad in memory of the former G Quad director who died in May. Now, this is the interesting part. G and H quads were named when they were built in 1961, and back then there was a plan to rename the group of seven dormitories after suitable names were found. But that name became so popular, G and H quad, that they decided to stick with the G and the H. Now, a good bit of trivia for Stony Brook people out there is, you know, there's G and H. Obviously, it has to be A, B, C, D, E, and F somewhere. You don't start with G. So there had to be something named that. And also, Stage 12, before it became Roosevelt, well, there had to be a Stage 11 and Stage 1 through 10. And since the graduate apartments were Stage 16, and there were five more stages between them, you know, and what were those stages? How come we don't know what they were? What's the cover-up here? Come on. There's people here that want to know these things, and we won't rest until we find out what they are. So, I mean, we'll keep your anonymity if you wish, but we feel that people have the right to know these things. Anyway, to get back to the raging controversy at hand, to tell you more about Mendelssohn, who will maybe replace G. Mendelssohn had worked at Stony Brook in 1977, started as a residence hall director before he went on to be G Quad director, founder of G Quad Council and G Fest, which I guess would have to be called Mendelssohn Fest now. That's according to a member of the Residence Hall Association. Hey, stop that. I don't know why people always spit on the ground whenever I say Residence Hall. Don't do it again. I won't say it anymore. All right. Guess who has to clean that up? I guess that association isn't all that popular at this point in time, but in any event, that association, and also professor of a student leadership course and manager of training and development for the Human Resources Department. He was involved with student... Okay, we know he's a great guy and all that, but what's going on here? Renaming a residence hall. According to Alan DeVries, assistant director of residence halls, he himself is heading the committee that proposes the name change. DeVries said the committee is made up of students, a representative from the president's office, faculty, and a clerk from finance. That's just for the neighborhood input. We want students' input about the change, but we also want to give the message of how much this means. The process of the change is lengthy, said DeVries. After the committee's decision, the proposal will go to Fred Preston, vice president for rubber stamping, pending final approval of the City Board of Trustees in Albany. We hope to be through with the process by the end of the semester because the Stony Brook Council meets in mid-December and there's not a thing that can stop it. Stein said, however, that the process may be difficult because of student resistance. You remember the 60s, folks? Well, it never died here. And there's students out there willing to give their lives to stand up for a cause. And if that cause is to keep G-Quad named G-Quad, they will do so. Don't ask them why, though. That's another department. According to this guy, who I neglected to mention, Gerald Stein, Associate Director of the Division of Campus Residences, which also isn't all that popular around here, the process may be difficult because... Oh, he said that already. It took us two attempts to name Eleanor Roosevelt Quad because of student resistance. That's right. Students were attached to the name Stage 12. G&H quads were named after their stage of development, and it was always our intention to give them a proper name, but it took them over 30 years to get around to it. those of you that go to Stony Brook can maybe understand this a bit more than people that are off campus, but it's hard to explain, I guess. It's interesting. It took two attempts to name Eleanor Roosevelt Quad. Now, that means that they asked the students, do you want to rename Stage 12 to Eleanor Roosevelt? And the students said, no. And then they came back and said, all right, we're going to ask you this one more time. Do you want to rename Stage 12 to Eleanor Roosevelt or not? I don't know what went on in the ensuing moments and what potential bargaining chips there were at the time, But at that point, the student said, yes. Sure, anything you say. That's probably what's going to happen with G-Quad. Might take a few attempts, but they're going to do it. According to Gina Miranda, this is all from Statesman, the campus newspaper. But I'm sure that's pretty obvious. According to Gina Miranda, a senior who lives in Irving College in G-Quad, told Statesman that no matter what the change is, she will always think of it as G-Quad. What do you think of that? Admirable. It's like the people standing up in Moscow, you know, saying they don't care what the government says. They're going to see it their way. You know? It might mean mass graves. It might mean freezing in the winter. It might mean starvation or isolation from the rest of the world. But that's how they think, and that's how things are going to be. Human spirit is a beautiful thing. She goes on to say, I'm not opposed to it, but people will always consider it G-Quad. It will take a while for it to be known by Mendelssohn. Anyway, according to DeVries, the exact name will be decided after the committee receives student input. And, you know what bothers me? There's not a single building on campus named after John Lennon. That's just my personal pet peeve. There should be. Matthew, have something to...
Hendrix was covered,
yes. And they were able to successfully name Jimi Hendrix College, a dormitory on this campus. Most of the buildings are named after people that no one has ever heard of before, like, you know, judges and scholars and, you know, other assorted people throughout the annals of history. But rock stars, man, rock stars and celebrities of all sorts and, you know, radio personalities, people like that. What's wrong with it?
Well, we had Rothquad for a while. The sign that pointed to it, it said David Lee Rothquad.
That's kind of clever, but it was never official. And the sign has been taken down and thrown away.
Hendrix wasn't for a long time before it was finally forced on them.
Matt, did you hear about the one-way sign?
One-way sign?
There's a man walking around this campus somewhere with a one-way sign. And public safety is at a loss as to why or how or where or when. One-way sign. And when they arrived, he was gone. That's the thing that I really... I'm having difficulty understanding how they arrived when he was gone, but they did, and he was. Matt's stunned, and I would be too. I am stunned.
I'm not exactly stunned. I mean, this is so...
Are you shocked?
Stony Brookish. No, nothing shocks me around here anymore. It's just...
Flabbergasted?
Yeah,
dismayed.
That's the best way. That's the best way to express it.
Yeah.
Not quite stunned.
Hey, listen to this. This is a somewhat more serious story. There's another shooting on campus. I don't want to say another shooting, like there's a shooting every day, every month, or every year, or whatever, but this is a story as it appeared in the campus newspaper. Campus police on Wednesday called on University President John Marburger to make his long-awaited decision about giving the force guns after a campus shooting last week injured a non-student. It's nice. It shows that the campus police care about non-students as well as students. And that should, you know, shut you skateboarders up, because... they care about non-students. They, you know, search you and harass you for everybody's protection. But, you know, that's part of the business. Anyway, according to public safety spokesman Doug Little, he says, emphatically, what are we waiting for? A kid to get shot and bleed to death in the middle of a quad? And I explained what quad was already so people out there know what that word means. Year after year, there are violent crimes, and public safety can't do anything about it. George Richardson, 32 years old, was shot in his right leg at 12:30 a.m. A week ago Friday in the infirmary parking lot, rather convenient, after attending a Halloween party in Irving College, which is in G-Quad. See how it all ties together so nicely? Soon to be Mendelssohn. So if this happened in a year or so, we'd say he was shot in Irving College in Mendelssohn. Learning can be fun. The gunman was described as a black man, 5 feet, 5 inches tall in his 20s, with short dreadlocks in his hair. Mind you, that's how he was described. He shot Richardson with a 38 caliber automatic pistol. If someone shot you, would you know what caliber pistol it was? I mean, I don't know the first thing about it. I have to say it was a gun. 38 automatic pistol. People know so much about weapons, I don't understand it. If they studied something else, instead, they would know more about that instead of knowing so much about... People know about bombs, they know about guns, they know about ways of destroying human life. But they know nothing about love. They know nothing about the meaning of a baby's smile or a cat's purr. It's sad, isn't it? It's really sad. But let's get back to the shooting. Richardson allegedly made comments about the man's girlfriend, and the man didn't particularly care for that kind of talk. They're both non-students. They're believed to have been coming from the Thursday night party in Irving College's main lounge. Richardson could not be reached for comment. He was treated and released from University Hospital Friday morning. He was very lucky, according to Little. He said the bullet missed muscle and main arteries. Missed muscles and main arteries, Statesman. It's called punctuation. Grammar. You'd do well to go to some of these touch-up courses. It could have been a real dangerous situation. Oh, wait, are there such things as muscle arteries? Maybe that's what he meant. He said the bullet missed muscle and main arteries. I would assume he meant missed muscles and main arteries, but who am I? Anyway, this is the crux of the matter. Because they are not armed, campus police are forced by law not to respond to calls when a weapon is involved and must wait for armed Suffolk County police, who took 23 minutes to respond to Friday morning's shooting near G Quad, soon to be Mendelsohn Quad, according to Little. We're cops that can't adequately protect our campus, Little said. We are qualified. All we're asking is to be able to adequately serve. If you just want security officers, so be it. Despite the department's plea, Marburger says he will wait for a university safety committee to give him a recommendation. I don't think it would make sense for me to make a decision without consultation with the committee, Marburger said to Statesman. To delay a decision for another several months won't make an appreciable difference. Marburger, who has sole authority to give guns to campus police through a bizarre misprint in the campus charter, he's got that power.
Can you just do that?
Oh, sole authority. He can just do it. He can, at any time, at 4 a.m, he can wake up and call this guy and say, you can have guns. You know, just like that. That's how decisions are made in the hallowed halls of Stony Brook. They did call him and ask him. And that's what he said. He said, I don't think it would make sense for me to make a decision without consultation with the committee. To delay a decision for another several months won't make an appreciable difference. Marburger, who has sole authority to give guns to campus police, agreed that violent crime has become a problem. The shooting was very unfortunate, he said, and it points to the fact that our campus is not immune to the same problems as the society around us. But he questioned public safety's motives. It sounds like they want me to make a decision in the affirmative, he said. And that's why he's campus president, because he can see through things. He can tell through this guy's like veiled remarks that he wants campus police to have guns. I don't know if you guys caught that, but it's true. It's in there. It's you know, he didn't come right out and say it, but he saw through it. That's good. Marburger predicted that he will not decide before the spring semester. I don't know if you can predict what you're going to do, but he did that. He predicted he will not decide before the spring semester, but said he would announce a decision before next May. So that gives us a time frame of between, say, February and May that he will decide. The campus has repeatedly debated arming the police force since its birth in 1957. Of course, it was in Oyster Bay back then, but that's something else. In 1983, Marburger denied a public safety plea to give the force guns, but a shooting during a student union concert early last year sparked support among several administrators for arming the force. Since then, two committees have researched the subject, but neither has made a recommendation. And the University Safety Council's recommendation was delayed last month after Professor Joe Hogan, who was the chairman, suffered a heart attack. Anyway, that's the story as far as arming the police. What I don't understand is, if they did have guns, this guy was shot. Now, presumably, the person that shot him didn't stand around, jump on a hood of a car and say, yippee, I just shot this guy, it's me, I'm the king of the world, I feel great, this is like wonders of my testosterone and all. Shoot, you gotta try. Hey, you want to try, kid? Try shooting this person. You know, they don't do that, okay? When you shoot somebody, you usually say, uh-oh, and you get in your car and you go away, or you just run into the woods or do something. So, unless public safety was right there at the moment that it happened,